All right, welcome back to the show. It's that time, Wednesday afternoon. Catching up with Chris Coleman, brought to you by Champs Sports Bar. Catching up with Coleman means Chris Coleman's in the house. What's up, Chris? How you doing?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
I am doing well. The weather's good outside, and it's not as hot as it's been. A little cool outside. A little cool outside.
A little nip in the air this morning when I got up. I was pleasantly surprised.
I can live with that little nip in the air.
Absolutely.
All right, let's get into Saturday. Last Saturday, let's see. Glennon took only a handful of snaps. Coach Beamer says it's to get other guys work. Good or bad that Glennon only got a few snaps?
I think it's great because it means, you know, finally there's no quarterback controversy. The only people that are talking about this being a quarterback controversy are the people who want it to be a quarterback controversy. You know, I went back home after that scrimmage and got on the message boards, and, you know, there were a few fans on there saying that, you know, in Glennon's three snaps, he looked exactly like he looked in the Chick-fil-A Bowl, and he had a horrible performance. And how they can tell that out of three snaps, I have no idea. It's just an example of, you know, people seeing what they want to see, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes believing is seeing, somebody put it, I believe.
Yeah, well, I've said for a little while now, and I'll continue to say this, that he's cemented at number one.
Absolutely.
There is no quarterback controversy.
No.
None at all.
If there was, they would not be putting Ike Whitaker at wide receiver, you know?
That's a good point. Speaking of the quarterbacks and speaking of Ike Whitaker, number one is Sean. We saw a lot of Corey Holt on Saturday. Several different ways I took this. Let's start with on whether or not you think Holt has a shot at being the number two, especially with Ike playing receiver.
I don't really think Corey Holt has a shot at number two. You know, I think Corey Holt, you know, from a physical standpoint, has regressed since he first entered Virginia Tech. I remember just being blown away the first time I ever saw him because he could make every throw on the field with perfect precision. The toughest route for a quarterback to throw coming from the high school level to the college level is the deep out route, the 10, 15, 20-yard out. And, man, he could make that throw every single time, and it was complete. He's not as good as he used to be as far as throwing the ball goes. I think he has a greater grasp of the offense than he used to. But, you know, I think, you know, obviously he's not going to be the starter because, you know, if he didn't pass Sean in the last 3 years, he's never going to. And Ike's got more upside than him. The biggest question for Corey Holt right now is if Ike and Glennon, you know, by some fluke went down with an injury, would they use Holt over Tyrod Taylor? And I'm not sure they would.
Len Martez on ESPN 1430, and we're joined by Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com, catching up with Chris Coleman on a Wednesday afternoon like we do every Wednesday. And you mentioned Tyrod Taylor. Holt gets the long look on Saturday. Now, is it a chance to give him, they want to give him a chance to cement himself as the number three and let the coaches know he's capable of being the number three so they can redshirt Tyrod Taylor?
Yeah, you know, I think that could be part of it. But, you know, at the same time, when you're going to sit your starter and you're running a first string, a second string, and a third string offense, then obviously, you know, you got to use somebody. And, you know, he was somebody. So, you know, I think he had his chance to move up to number two. And I think if he had gone out there and played exceptionally in the scrimmage, then, you know, maybe they start giving Ike even more reps at receiver and giving Holt more of a chance to earn that number two job. But I just don't feel like he did enough to do that, so I think he's kind of stuck at number three right now.
Stuck at number three, but is it his job to lose? You think they feel comfortable enough to say, okay, he's on number three?
I'll be totally honest with you, Lynn. I think if Glennon went down for an extended period of time, it would not shock me a bit if they handed the reins over to Tyrod Taylor.
Wow.
More upside than any quarterback on the roster by far. And if they're already giving Ike a look at wide receiver, it's because they know that Tyrod Taylor has a chance to at least be the number one backup next year.
Okay, speaking of Tyrod, I'm interested to know what you think. All right, agree or disagree? He did some good things on Saturday that go beyond playing against third stringers, meaning whether or not it was the first string, second string, or third string defense, he did things that came natural.
Oh, I agree 100%. You know, that run he had, yeah, it was against a third-string defense. But, you know, he's going to have a lot of runs like that against good defenses, I think, in his college career. You know, and then there are some bad things. You know, the interception, he put it over the guy's inside shoulder rather than his outside shoulder. on his great scramble, he actually missed three open receivers. And, you know, you could tell, you know, the game's moving a little fast for him right now. But the more reps he takes, you know, he's a smart, hardworking guy with all the talent in the world. You mean, you just look at the way, I mean, he just throws that ball with a flick of the wrist, you know. And he's got such a quick release, and he's so accurate. I think he's going to have a great career. I don't think there's much holding him back except time.
Here's the only fear that I have, and it's the thing about, okay, Saturday he looked good, and trust me, I'm with you, because there were things he did natural, like I said, including, as much as you say, he missed a receiver on Saturday on a certain play when he made that run, he made plays as far as checking down. He went through his progressions on some plays where inconsistency, yes, but it's also the ability to do that. That's very good. The fact that at some times he can actually make those progressions and go through and say, that guy's not open, let me dump it off to a tight end, let me dump it off here. A guy 17 years old to be able to do that right now, that's big. But my only issue with him is on Saturday is we were all there. And when I say all there, I don't mean the 10,000 Hokies. I mean the coaches were on the field giving him the plays.
Right.
No signals being run down at him. You know, he's literally, you mentioned the fact that the game goes fast. It'll be a whole lot faster when the coach is on the sideline signaling in those plays.
It's a lot different when you have that 25-second clock. The defense out there is Florida State's as opposed to your third-string defense composed of mostly walk-ons. It is a big difference. And, you know, that's the thing that a lot of people – you know, need to realize he's a true freshman. He's 18 years old. You know, 3 months ago, he was in high school. You know, he was going to the prom back in May. And you cannot reasonably expect a guy that age to come in and be your starting quarterback. And generally, if that happens, if a true freshman ever comes in and starts at quarterback for any major college team, it's generally a sign that you already had a huge problem at quarterback. I mean, you know, you had a roster full of guys who just – there was no way they could do the job. And you know, Glennon had his down points last year, but at the same time, you know, he did a pretty decent job overall. And, you know, Ike is very talented, obviously. Corey Holt has a strong suit. So it's not like Tech has a bunch of bad quarterbacks in the system.
Yeah, when you start at any school, a true freshman at quarterback, it means you have a problem at quarterback.
And you're thinking about the next 2 or 3 years rather than the season at hand.
Absolutely. All right, Len Martez with Chris Coleman at TechSideline.com. And Catching Up Coleman brought to you by Champ Sports Bar, located on Main Street here in Blacksburg. We mentioned the offensive stars, or at least the offensive players on Saturday. Jason Worlds, one of the defensive stars, special team stars, too. Scary to think the damage he can do alongside those linebackers if he can stay healthy.
Absolutely. And, you know, the thing is, he's not even a starter, which is insane. He's a backup. Tech has two really good backup defensive ends in Worlds and Nikos Brown. I mean, those guys would start for many teams out there. You mentioned Darryl Tapp is going to be on the show tomorrow. Now, that is exactly who Jason Worlds reminds me of. He's 6'1", about 260, 265, has the exact same body build as Darryl Tapp. Maybe at this point in his career, he's a little better pass rusher than Tapp was. But I think he's going to have a good freshman season, and Tech fans have got a lot to look forward to with him playing defensive end.
Len Martez on ESPN 1430, joined by TechSideline.com's Chris Coleman. Catching up with Coleman on this show every Wednesday. And Chris, let's come back down to earth a little bit here. How hard did you grind your teeth when you watched the first two punts being blocked?
Well, you know, it's one of those things. When you look at these scrimmages that, you know, the team is just playing each other, it's like, wow, great play. They blocked a punt. Oh, no, bad play. They let the other team block a punt, you know. So one of the blocks was against the backup punt protection unit. But, you know, at the same time, you have to look at what Jason Worlds did to Dwayne Brown, Tech's first-string left tackle. Look what he did to him when Worlds was playing defense, and then you throw him out there on special teams. I think it was mostly Worlds just making a great play, because I think he's going to be an exceptional player here.
17 days away or 16 days away from week one, are you alarmed that the punts were blocked and that the two jobs, the kicker and punter jobs, are still open?
I'm not that alarmed by it. I think if the punting job is still open, you know, I think that's just I really don't think there's anything to
just
that.
Talk.
Just talk.
It's Brent Bowden's job.
I think it's Brent Bowden's job, and I think Judd Dunleavy will win that kicking job also. It concerns me a little bit, the punter block, but you're still pretty new around here. The one thing I've learned from living in this place for, I guess, about 6 years now is that Tech scrimmages are never pretty in any way, shape, or form. They're always ugly. You never leave those scrimmages getting a sense that the offense is any good or the kicking game is any good. So, you know, it was par for the course on Saturday.
Speaking of scrimmage, we got another one this Saturday. What do you want to see? Better play of? What do you want to see development-wise as far as the team's concerned as they get closer to week one in the season?
I'd like to see a little more cohesiveness out of the offensive line. They played a lot of guys this past Saturday, and that'll never lead to good play, playing so many offensive linemen. I'd like to see just maybe the first two units, you know, throw that third team, you know, just let them watch and get those, you know, that first two groups as many reps as possible, because with the offensive line, it's all about building unity on the offensive line. I think they need to settle on a guy at left guard and just go with him and let him get all the reps. That's what I would like to see.
Len Martez on ESPN 1430, Blacksburg's only 24-hour sports station, joined by TechSideline.com's Chris Coleman. Catching up with Coleman, brought to you by Champ Sports Bar, located on Main Street. And Chris, a little recruiting news before we let you get out of here. Xavier Boyce, lock sealed, coming to Tech. What can we expect from Mr. Boyce?
I think he's probably a redshirt next year, as are most freshmen, but he's a good, very good prospect. In my mind, he's definitely a defensive player. I think there's three positions he could possibly settle into. Rover, in the form of Cam Chancellor. He has that type of build. He could play at free safety. He could play at whip linebacker. I think the best comparison coming out of high school is Aaron Rouse. They're about the same size coming out of high school. Tall, rangy, same type athlete. I think that's a good comparison for the future for Xavier Boyce.
All right, Chris, good information. We've got to let you get out of here. And we will talk again next week. We'll pick up next week as far as this coming Saturday schedule, scrimmage.
Sounds good. Looking forward to it.
All right, Chris, thanks for your time, brother.
Anytime.